Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your hope. Just thank you for the opportunity to gather here and to celebrate you. And to celebrate what you've done for us, Jesus. And so we just give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I know why y'all are here this morning, right? And so I want to talk about gifts, seeing how it's Christmas. Right? You guys, Merry Christmas, by the way, right? So we're going to talk about Christmas. Like, I even wore Christmas colors, right? And so, but in all seriousness, When I think of Resurrection Sunday, I think of the greatest gift that we've ever been given, which is new life. And so in Matthew, I'm going to go straight to the Bible so you guys are like, that preacher just talked. He didn't read anything. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for everyone, for everyone who asks receives, but he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. And then this is my favorite part. This reminds me of Christmas. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Now, listen to this again. This is Jesus himself talking, and he says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. So, like, I got my youngest granddaughter. I got a younger grandson, but my youngest granddaughter, like, she come up to me and she's like, you know what? I want strawberry on my pancakes. I don't have strawberries. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get strawberries. Do you know why I'm going to get her strawberries? Because I love her. And because she's my granddaughter. And because I want to bless her. And I want her to know how much I love her. So guess what she gets? She gets strawberries, right? So now she asked for strawberries and I was like, no, I think I'm going to put mayonnaise on your pancake. No, but she calls me Papa, and used to call me Papu, and I was like one O away from being Poo-Poo, so I was like, we're going to change that, right? So she's like, Papa, I wanted strawberries, though. Like, I don't even like mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is evil. And I'm like, yes, I've taught you right? And so how nice would that be of me? How great would that be? Can you imagine any of us, like, unless maybe you don't like your grandkid, you know? But I don't just like her, I love her, right? And that love is finding a way to express itself. I wrote a few notes because I wanted to, I think it's so important that we get this, especially on Resurrection Sunday, even though we're celebrating Christmas, right? If we give good gifts to our children, if we want to meet their needs and fulfill their desires, how much more does our Father in heaven? You know what he said? If we being evil want to give good gifts to our kids, if we want to be like evil, he's not saying like you're evil, but compared to God, like our intentions aren't always as pure as God's, right? But he's like, if we in the flesh and as human beings want to give good gifts to our kids, how much more? does our Father who's in heaven, right? He's not a big, mean God. He's a good, loving, kind Father who wants to wrap his arms around you and wants you to know how much he loves you and how valuable you are. I wrote in my notes, if my granddaughter wants strawberries covered with pancakes, why do I do it? Because I love her. And do you know what love does? What does love do? Love responds, and we give her strawberry-covered pancakes. And this is important to understand when it comes to love and it comes to God. Because love gives out of itself. That's what love does. Now think about that. Here, she wants strawberries. I'm going to give her strawberries. Why? Because I love her. Why? It's love gives out of itself. Love is it just comes out. It's not something that I have to force or I have to draw up or I have to make come out of me. It's just like I automatically love her. I automatically want to bless her. I have the problem, like I train horses too. Yesterday I was training a horse. And like sometimes, like you're working a horse and everybody thinks, you know what, this horse needs petted. And that horse don't need petted. I kept telling the owner, and I have a crash test dummy too. His name's Matt, by the way. And so, and Matt's like working with the horse, and the horse is coming up, and the horse just wanted to hang with him. Like, the horse don't want petted on. He could care less if you pet on him, but Matt's sitting here going like this, petting on him. I was like, Matt, quit petting on the horse. And the owner's like, I know, I learned that the hard way. He tells me, don't pet the horse. And he's like, well, I don't pet the horse. I said, because you ain't petting the horse for you. Or for him, you're petting the horse for you. That horse ain't even talking your language. That horse just wants to be with you and hang with you. And here you're rubbing him all over. And like, look, he don't even like it. Like, leave him alone. You're harassing that horse, right? And then he's like, but I don't get. I was like, look, buddy. For both of you, both him and the horse owner, I was like, next week I'm going to go to the shelter and get you chihuahuas. And if you want something to pet, right, I'm going to get you the chihuahuas to pet. Because, like, this ain't a chihuahua. This horse weighs 1,600 pounds. He's huge, right? He is not a chihuahua. He ain't going to come sit in your lap. Say, here, Buki, like this, right? He needs to understand his job. And he needs to understand, and he understands his language and how to talk. But they love the horses so much. You know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to express it. They're wanting to express it in the only way that they know how, which is how? By petting it, right? Which at the time is the worst thing he could have done for the horse, right? So there's a wisdom that comes with love too. And a knowing what to do and when to do and how to do it. But you can never fail when it comes to love. And I've learned that over and over and over and over in my life. And he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or which of you ask for a fish, will give him a snake? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Now just let that sink in a minute. How much more. Look, like, now I know there's a recession in heaven. And God's cutting back because he's like, you know, we gotta save our pennies here. And so we're either gonna have to, you know, cut spending or raise our tithes maybe to 30%, right? We're gonna have to figure something out to get this working out, us out in our economy, right? No. There's no limits to God. God's not going broke. God's not having trouble. And so he said that he would meet our needs according to his bank account. He says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There is no lack in God. There's no poverty. There's no lack of love. There's no lack of peace. There's no lack of joy. There's no lack of anything that you need. It is complete and it is full, and it only comes because of the finished work that Jesus done, and you didn't earn one bit of it. Amen. He did it just because he loved you. John 3:16, like when I was a kid, like you couldn't turn on a football game without seeing behind the goalpost someone to have their shirt off with a sign, with a cardboard sign that said John 3:16. And I thought it was a prerequisite. Like if you're going to hold a sign up with John 3:16, you got to have your shirt off and be painted the color of your team or whatever. And all that. I was like, why don't we preachers do that? We get a whole lot more attention, right? And so I can just, no, you don't want to picture that, I promise, right? Why are you guys laughing? That's not supposed to be, I'm trying to be serious, right? But then hold, John 3:16, right? Here's John 3:16. And I'm like, John 3:16? And then I read it one day. Right? It's pretty important. And my dad's a preacher, right? So that made me not want to read it, right? But it said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he did something. Do you know what that thing was? He gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. The Bible says that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that through him that the world might be set free and saved and loved. And this is an important part of love. Love it is responsive. Like, well, what do you mean? It's like, and you having a bad day? Like, say my granddaughter comes in and she's like, I hurt my toe. You want to say, suck it up. It's a long way from your heart, right? Maybe my grandsons. Right? My granddaughter, oh, come here. Let me give you a hug. You know what? I'm responding. Why? Because I love her and because I want to meet her need. I will go to where she's at to meet her need. Why? Because I love her. I respond out of love. I respond. And it's not even something that I have to think about doing, right? I just automatically run to her. Why? Because I love her. Because that's what's in me. Because that's what I do. You know why God's so responsive? And why God's love is so responsive? Because it says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not self-serving. Love's not boastful. I usually do that at weddings. You're getting Christmas, Easter, and weddings today. Right? Congratulations, you're getting them all. Like maybe I'll throw something else in, right? Right? But love, it's patient, it's kind, and it gives you this whole list of adjectives, if you will, of what love is. But the Bible says that God is love. So if I'm ever really down, do you know what I do? As I go back in there, and instead of love, I put God. God is patient. God is kind. And you know what? It reminds me that he's a loving father, that he's there for me. And when we walk in him, and when we walk in his love, and when we walk out of that love, we're walking out of the God part of us. Because you can't really love without God. You know why? Because he is love. He's there for you. He loves you. He wants to be in every part of your life. He's like not separate. He's not like, oh, well, someday they're going to die, and then I'll get to see him and say hi. Hopefully in the meantime, they'll check the box of things that they got to finish. That's not what the Bible says. It has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with what he done. And we get the choice. Are we going to rest in that? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to trust his heart? Or are we going to try to keep doing everything on our own? I'm telling you, that wears us out. We have, God's bigger than just love. God is infinite love. Now watch this. Love is responsive. You have access to God's infinite love to meet every need and heal every hurt, make you complete and whole in His finished work. Now watch this. One more time. The responsive love. The God kind of love. The God kind of love that gave His only Son for you. He says, while we were yet sinners. Like He didn't wait, oh, you know what? Now that you're not a sinner no more, I'll love you. He's like, he ain't worried about that. He says, I took care of that on the cross in Christ Jesus. And now you are free in Him and through Him. And it's because of His love, because of His goodness, because of His heart for you. He didn't create Adam and Eve and go, man, I never saw this coming. Like He's God, right? Oops, I should have created Bob and Helen. Right? Because they'd have got it right? They'd have been eating from the right tree, right? And He's like, you know what? God's love was so great that He knew ahead of time. And His response when He's like, why are you naked? They're like trying to cover themselves and hide themselves from Him. He's like, why are you covering yourself? It's just me. And He's like, we're naked. And He's like, who told you we're naked? And He was so worried about them feeling that shame and feeling that guilt that He's like, here, I'll cover you. Complete love. Complete attention. He's like, here. He's like, I know you're hurting and I know you really messed up, but I'm going to make a way. I already have a plan. I saw this coming and He saw you coming. It says, before the foundation of the earth, He knew who you were. He knew your name. He had a plan for your life. You're not just some accident. He said, oops, I didn't mean to create you. You ain't supposed to be here. He's like, no, there's only one of you. In fact, He has every hair on your head numbered. For some of us, it's a lot easier to count. No, not talking about Will, right? Wouldn't be talking about Will, you know. No. Right? Not at all. That's love. That's God's goodness. And that's who He is in and through us. You have access to God's infinite love. Do you know what infinite means? Unending, right? You know what? I love Rolls Royces. Like, I think they're the coolest cars on the planet, right? When I see them, I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. But I look at them, and do you know what their symbol is? It's an infinite. You know what it's like? An eight. Eight represents new beginnings too. But here, it's infinite. And when I look at that, I think of God, man. I was like, if God's driving a car in heaven, it's a Rolls Royce. You know? It's like, that's it. And if He can drive it in heaven, I can drive it here, right? But it's infinite. Like, there's no end to it. Like, and that's what, it's luxurious. It's abundant. It's higher than the highest mountain, and it's deeper than the deepest sea, and you get a choice. Like, you can go to this ocean and you can go with it with a teaspoon or a shovel or a bucket. But you will never, ever take away and subtract from that, because it's like the ocean. It's inexhaustible and it's deeper than you could ever imagine. And He loves you. So you have access to God's infinite love to meet every need, heal every hurt, make you complete and whole in His finished work. Isaiah 53 says this, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? What is he saying? Whose report do you believe? Right? Is it like we fuss back and forth between these earthly forms of news, and we're like, well, that's fake news. And they're like, no, that's fake news. And then it's like, oh, I believe that report. And well, I believe that report. But I want to tell you about a report that's greater than any report that's ever been. And it's this gospel. It's the good news. It's the better than you could ever believe. It's that good news. It's greater than you could ever imagine. Good news. He said, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. That's our God. And that's his love. He's like, whose report are you going to believe? In fact, we give our own self-talk reports. And half of what we're saying is not even true, because even psychologists say that we only remember 50% of what happened. So we're 50% wrong from the get-go. That's why I can tell a story. Like, I've been married almost 26 years now, and me and my wife can tell the same story, and they'll be, like, different. I'm like, were you even there? Like, what's the matter with you? Right? But we get these stories from our past or from our hurts or from our trauma, and they're playing, you're rotten. You're no good. You don't matter. God will never love you. God has no heart for you. And you start believing that report. But I want to give you a better report. This morning it says this. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a shoot out on dry ground, had no majesty, beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. Do you feel rejected? Have you felt despised? Have you felt shame? Have you felt guilt? Have you felt like you're never good enough and you can never be good enough? And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're trying to be good enough and earn your way to be good enough to God, you're wasting your time. Because he said, I love you so much that I sent my son, my only son, to die for you. He's like, I already see the greatness in you. I already see you for who you really are. And I'm going to show you my love so much that I'm going to send my son, my only son, whom I love, and he's going to die for you. And as I watch love, Jesus taking that cross and taking those strips, Scripture says he literally embraced the cross. He literally like, oh, I'm going to give this a hug. And I don't think he was just embracing the cross. I think he was embracing us. He's like, this is what I was born for, and I can't wait, because I know this really hurts right now, but pretty soon, something's going to happen, because I'm going to take every one of their sins, and I'm going to take every one of their sicknesses, and I'm going to take their poverty, and I'm going to take everything that was brought on by the fall of one man, and in one man, I'm going to restore everything. And Jesus carried that to the cross. And he gave his life. No greater love does any man than to lay down his life for another. God's response to sin was not condemnation and judgment, but it was to give himself up for you. That's love. That's the response of love and God that you have. But he's like, yeah. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, or by his wounds, we are healed. So powerful. He's like, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you in that mindset of, I don't love you. I don't want to leave you in the mindset that I'm far off away, or I'm a demanding whoppamo. Anybody play whoppamo? Like, that's how we picture God. Like, this long-haired dude that looks like Zeus up there playing whoppamo with us. Like, oh, boom, 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 boom. That's not him. God's response, love's response, is to give. And he doesn't give anything but himself. Because in the end, when we give, that's about all we can do. Is just give of ourselves. You can only give what you got. It's like, man, I love you, and I'm going to give of myself, and I'm going to show you how much I love you. So this is how I like to pray. So this is what I do. I just wrote this down. This is an example. You don't have to pray like this. Pray, talk to God like you talk to God, all right? Like this kind of private conversation. So can you guys plug your ears? Don't kid. So I'm going to hand this over to you, Father. That's what I do. When you face a challenge, when you face a problem, you know what I do? Victory doesn't come from the fight. As a believer, victory comes from surrendering to the fight that was already won. We're not trying to win the battle. We're surrendering to his greatness. Just like Jesus himself did. He surrendered his life. He gave his life. But the good news is his life didn't stay, he didn't stay dead. When he surrendered his life, he rose again and became alive. And was alive. And is alive. And is alive. And so will you. It doesn't come from works, it comes from rest. It doesn't come from fighting, it comes from surrender. And when you surrender the battle to God, do you know what he does? He takes over. Right? We used to get in fights on the playground when I was a kid. And they would call them fights. We'd argue back and forth who had the bigger brother or cousin. Oh, well, I can whip you. Well, my cousin can whip you. Well, my brother can whip your cousin, right? So, like, my cousin never knew why he was always in fights, right? Like, well, I'm always in fights. What's going on? Like, all these guys' brothers are trying to whip my tail in, right? That's what God's like. Like, oh, well, you can't handle this. Time out. My brother, he done got this. You take it to him. He'll deal with it. And you know what? He's never been whooped. Other than when he surrendered his life to die for us. So I'm going to hand this over to you, Father. I'm not limited by knowledge or ability, but I'm empowered by your infinite, unfailing, all-consuming love because I know you are love. And perfect love casts out all fear, and you are perfect, and I am perfectly loved. Thank you. And you know what I've just done? I've loved that. So now I have challenges. Like, instead of fighting it, you know what I'm doing? Father, this is yours. Like, I can't handle this, so I'm just going to love this. I'm just going to embrace this. And I'm going to trust your heart for me to do me good, just like I want to give my granddaughter strawberry pancakes. She can trust me, all right? She knows I'd never defile them with mayonnaise. It's like, that's the worst thing in the world. Look, I shouldn't even put those words out of my mouth. But she trusts me. So what I'm doing is the limitless limitlessness. Now that's a word. The limitlessness of God summed up in one word. Yeshua. Jesus.
Amen.
I said, I am going to give you a never-ending flow of life. They can't be stopped, can't be taken from you, can't be stolen from you, but it only comes from one person, and his name is Jesus. It says here, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned his way, and the Lord has laid on him, on who? Jesus, iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants, for he was cut off from the land of the living? For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He said, all that guilt, all that shame, all that rejection, he said, I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it on the cross so that now you can rest in my hope. You can rest in my peace. You can rest in my love. You can rest in me, because I'm just not a name. I'm just not a person. In fact, the name Yeshua means I am salvation. So in Texas, they need a clue. He was like, I better make it plain. I am salvation. Hey, I am salvation. Literally, he's like, hey, my name is Bob. He goes, I am salvation. It only comes through one person. And his name is Jesus. The name above every name, because on the third day, he rose again. And when he rose again, you know what? We rose again. He died for us and he rose again. He died for us so that in him we might have life and have peace. For God so loved the world, he gave himself. Jesus so loved you, he gave himself. And he says, all I want you to do is believe my report. Please just believe my report that I love you and surrender to my love. So you know what? I just surrender to your love, Lord. I just surrender to that finished work. And I thank you. The Bible says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will make alive our mortal body. The Bible says that Christ in us, not a God far off, but a Christ in us, Jesus in us, is the hope of glory. He says, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to walk with me and talk to me. You don't have to wait till you get everything lined up. I'll talk to you and I'll show you and I'll help you right here, right now, because I love you. And because I'm love, man, that's all I got to give you is my infinite, boundless love. Pretty easy. It comes through surrender. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the peace and hope that you give us through him. Father, we just surrender our lives to you, and we believe and we thank you for all the goodness and hope that you're bringing to our lives. Father, for those who are broken, who are beat up and feel no hope or feel shame, we break that off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you shed your love in their hearts like they've never dreamed possible. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.